Hare Krishna. So how is everybody doing? Everybody is blissfully engaged in Krishna consciousness. And you're fully satisfied in your hearts. There is no tritab dukkha. No more threefold miseries. No more adhi atmik, adhi daibik, and adhi bhautik kleshas. Very good. Maunam shanmati lakshanam. Silence means approval. Very good. So, Krishna consciousness makes our life joyful. So become very happy. In a way, I was also thinking that this morning's class on Brahma Samhita, in order to establish the supremacy of Brahma Samhita, I was little forceful in our presentation, in my presentation. It's something like saying that this is the highest. And in course of doing that, sometimes I have to compare and it may not sound very pleasant at times. But in a way, we have to do that for the benefit of everyone to understand the supremacy of this process of Krishna consciousness. It's the highest. In a way, it can be pointed out like that, that sometimes a doctor, while treating a patient, when he finds out that the patient has been taking some wrong treatment, then the doctor has to tell him that this treatment is wrong. So, don't take that treatment. Now, does the doctor say that to prove that he is the best? Or for the benefit of the patient. Similarly, to establish that Krishna consciousness, this gift of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the highest, sometimes we have to make that point, that this is the highest. And when we specially see that there has been some wrong treatment, there has been some wrong treatment, wrong medicines, then we have to tell. Don't take that medicine. So it is only for that purpose that this is presented in this way. After all, a devotee's business, a preacher's business, a teacher's business is like a doctor. In Krishna consciousness, we all are treating patients. Who are the patients? The patients are suffering, those who are suffering in the material condition, called bhava rog, bhava mahadavagni. So it's a disease. And Krishna consciousness is the medicine. Therefore, while presenting the medicine, we have to point out that, look, this is the best medicine. And if you're taking a wrong treatment, immediately stop that treatment. So, this is with that purpose, that objective that is being done. Prabhupada kept saying, God. Okay. So, yesterday we covered two khandas, Balakanda and Ayodhya Kanda. How many khandas does Ramayana have?
Seven
khandas. And today we'll try to cover third and fourth khandas. And they are known as Aranyakanda and Kishkindakanda. Aranyakanda is describing Ramchandra's stay in the forest. So, yesterday we discussed Ramchandra left Ayodhya and then went to the forest. Why did he go to the forest? Because his father was bound with a condition with his stepmother Kaikeyi, and with that she wanted to have her son Bharat to become the king. And she wanted Ram to be banished from Ayodhya for 14 years. So, so Ram, Sita and Lakshman, they came to Dandakaranya. Where did they stop? They stopped in, on the way first, where they were stopped? Where did they spend the night? Where did they spend the night? On the bank of the Ganges as a guest of Guha, the king of Nishads. And then the next morning they crossed the river. And crossing the river, they came to the ashram of Bharadwaj Rishi. And when he was staying near the ashram of Bharadwaj Rishi in Chitrakoot mountain, there Bharat came to meet him. Bharat wanted to take him back to Ayodhya. But Ram refused to do that. Bharat tried in so many ways. Then finally, Bharat returned with his, Ramchandra's wooden shoes. Then Ramchandra considered that to stay in the ashram, to stay in that area in Chitrakoot, will not be very desirable, because he was afraid that Bharat and that that place was filled with the memories of Bharat and his mother. So Ramchandra did not feel comfortable staying there. So he was feeling very, very painful in heart. And Bharat came, and how Bharat was crying, how Bharat was requesting him to go back. So therefore, because of that, Ramchandra decided to leave that that place, Chitrakoot, and he decided to go to, on to Dandakaranya. And on the way, he came to the ashram of Atri Muni. Atri Muni was very pleased to see Lord Ramchandra. Anshul, where is the printout that I gave you? Atri Muni was very pleased to see Ramchandra. Actually, one of the reasons, he didn't print it. So, anyway, Atri Muni, Actually, we have to understand why Ramchandra, and one reason why Ramchandra went to the forest. Why Ramchandra went to the forest? Why the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes? Paritranaya, sadhuna, to give association to the sadhus, to give joy to the sadhus. So these are the sadhus who are living in the forest. So in order to be with them, in order to give them his association, Lord Ramchandra actually was in the forest. And these saintly persons knew who Lord Ramchandra is. So Atri Muni was very pleased to see Lord Ramchandra. And then when Ram, Sita came and with Lakshman, then Atri Muni told his wife to take care of Sita. Atri Muni's wife was Anasuya, another tapaswini. And she was, both of them treated Ram and Sita as their own, and Lakshman as their own children. Showered them their affection. This is how the Lord was giving his association to the devotees. And Anasuya praised Sita and told that you'll be glorified. Your glory will spread all over the world and will be sung for many, many years because of your glorious deed that you followed your husband even to the forest. We cannot even imagine how difficult it must have been for Sita to go to the forest. She was a princess. She was treated with such luxury. She probably never stepped out of her palace without being carried in palanquins and chariots. Now she is walking barefoot in the forest, which is full of thorns and wild animals. But Sita did that because she considered that her only duty is to follow her husband, Sri Ramchandra. And Anasuya Devi gave such beautiful advice and blessings to Sita Devi. And then she gave Sita a garland, a celestial garland that will never wither, that will always remain fresh. She gave her a dress which will also never wither. So this way she blessed Sita. But before that, she asked Sita, you ask for any boon. You ask anything that you want. I am prepared to give all my austerities, the result of all my austerities to you. So, but Sita said, no, I don't need anything. What was her reply? I have my husband. And who is her husband? The Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what else do I need? I have everything. I have nothing to desire. Just as this morning someone asked, like Kalpavriksha, yes, in the spiritual sky, nobody has anything to ask from Kalpavriksha. The Kalpavrikshas are there. All the Surabhi cows are there. They can get anything they want. But they don't need anything. All they want is their service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then Atri Muni, when Ram wanted to take his blessings to depart from there, Atri Muni blessed him and advised him to go to the Dandakaranya. And (clears throat) And when they came to Dandakaranya, they found the beautiful cottages there. On the bank of the river, the beautiful huts, many, many beautiful huts. And the great sages were residing there. They're very delighted to see that. Actually, this is how the Indian culture used to be. The emphasis was not in the cities those days. Yes, some people, the Kshatriyas and Vaishyas, would stay in the cities, but the Brahmanas would stay away from the crowd. They would stay in a solitary place like that, and there they would cultivate Krishna consciousness. And when they were walking, then all of a sudden, a terrible Rakshasa appeared. He had a spear in his hand, and in his spear, the heads were dangling. They were the three lions' heads were dangling. Four tigers, two wolves, 10 deers, and one elephant's head were dangling from his spear that he was carrying, and blood was dripping from it. So he just killed those animals. And he was huge. And he just grabbed Sita and said, "I want this beautiful woman to be my wife." And Ramchandra and Lakshman immediately attacked him and tried to take Sita away, but that demon was so powerful. He asked you, "Who are you intruding into my forest?" He claimed that that forest was his forest, intruding into my forest. So Ramchandra introduced himself. He said that, "I am Ram, this is my brother Lakshman, we are two Kshatriyas. And how do you dare to obstruct us like this?" And Ram and Lakshman took out their swords and rushed at the Rakshasa. But they saw a very strange happening. Although they were cutting the body of the Rakshasa with their sword, nothing was happening to them. And then the Rakshasa laughed and said, "I had the blessings of benediction from Brahma, that no weapon can do anything to me." And they tried in various ways to... And then finally, he grabbed both of them, Ram and Lakshman. And he started to carry them into the forest, all three of them, Ram, Sita and Lakshman. So Ram said, "Lakshman, no weapon is going to do anything to this man, to this demon. So let us wrench his hands out of his body." So Ram tore off his right arm and Lakshman tore off his left arm. And then, in a pain, he started crying. But at the same time, this demon, he declared that his name was Biradha. He said, "Who are you? Who are you?" And then he declared that he was actually a Gandharva called Tamburu. And because of lasting after Rambha, the Apsara, he was cursed by Kuvera to become a Rakshasa. And when he begged Kuvera, "Please, so show us some, please forgive me, please do not curse me." Then Kuvera said, when Ram will come and wrench your hands, Ram and Lakshman, then only you'll be delivered. So he fell at the feet and said, thank you for delivering me. So Ramchandra was delivering even the Rakshasas from their curses. We'll get to another incidents like that, when Ramchandra will deliver Kabandha, another demon, another Rakshasa who was cursed. And he told them, so since the Ram and Lakshman buried him, and that is how he actually, Ramchandra dug a pit, Lakshman dug a pit, a hole, and they buried him. And that was the condition, that when you will be buried by Ram, then you will be delivered. Then he told him, Ram and Lakshman, that please go to the ashram of Sarabhanga, he'll give you some beneficial advice. So according to his instruction, he came, Ram and Lakshman continued their journey and came to the ashram of a great sage called Sarabhanga. And when they came to Sarabhanga's ashram, they found that Indra's chariot was there. And actually at that time, Indra came to take Sarabhanga to the heavenly planet, Brahmaloka. And although Indra came to take him, Sarabhanga didn't want to go. He said, no, I don't want to go now. Indra personally came to take him to Sarabhanga, Brahmaloka, but he refused. Why? Because he knew that Ram was coming and he wanted to leave his body in the presence of Lord Ram after having his darshan. So Ramchandra inquired from him that why Indra was here, and after seeing me, Indra ran away. Indra just left, disappeared. Why is that? So then Sarabhanga told, Rishi Sarabhanga, that Indra came to take me, but I was waiting for you to come. And then when Ramchandra was there, Sarabhanga lit a fire and he entered into the fire and gave up his body. And then a beautiful celestial body appeared. And with that body, where does one go when one leaves his body in the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Where does one go? He goes to the spiritual sky. Is there any difference between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the Holy Name? So when one leaves his body in the presence of the Holy Name, where does he go? Spiritual sky. So make sure that at the time, when the time comes to leave your body, that you remember Krishna, remember his name, and remembering his holy name, you make it a point to leave your body. Then you'll positively go back to the spiritual sky. Indra came to take him to Brahmaloka, but he was actually interested. He was not interested in Brahmaloka, actually, in reality. Because those who know the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they only want his shelter, his abode. They don't want to compromise for anything else. Although in the scriptures, those points haven't been very clearly mentioned, because the holy name and the benefit of the holy name was not fully revealed in those ages. Vaikuntha Loka was not fully revealed even. That's why in the scriptures we find the description of heavenly planet all the way up to Brahmaloka, Sattaloka. But actually, our understanding is, do you think the Brahmaloka is the highest? Yes, in the material nature, Brahmaloka is the highest. But what is the geography? That's again, we have to go back to Brahma Samhita. Goloko namni nijadhamni tale cha tasya devi mahesha haridham ashuteshu teshu. So devi dham, that means where we are. The dham of Mahamaya. The place of Mahamaya. Devi. Durga Devi. And beyond this, Mahesh dham, the abode of Lord Shiva. Beyond that, beyond the abode of Lord Shiva, the abode of Hari, Vaikuntha Loka. And then beyond Vaikuntha Loka is Haridham or Golok Vrindavan. Goloko Namni, Golok Dham or Golok Vrindavan. So when you know that is the highest place, will you settle for any other place? When you know that that is the best, do you want the best or you want to compromise with anything less? Who wants to have the best? Who wants to have the highest? So which is the highest? So if you go to Vaikuntha, will you be happy there? Very good. So Sarabhanga in this way went back to the spiritual sky. And then the rishis, the sages in Dandakaranya approached Lord Ramachandra and told him that, look, we are being harassed by the demons all the time, the Rakshasas. So you please help us. So Ramachandra said, yes, we are Kshatriyas. Our duty is to protect the Brahmanas, the sages, the rishis. So yes, sure, I will give you protection. Ramachandra protected the Ram and Lakshman for a long time, stayed there and protected the Brahmanas, rishis, from the attacks of the Rakshasas. Ramachandra actually said, as a Kshatriya, I am your servant. So what is the business of a king? To be the servant of the Brahmanas. To be the servant of those who dedicated their lives for spiritual achievement. For the spiritual purpose. And in this way, Rama and Lakshman stayed in Dandakaranya, and then Ramachandra came across Sutikna. Sutikna was another great sage and who guided them to the ashram of Agastya. While conversing with Sutikna one day, Ramachandra asked, I have heard that the ashram of Agastya Muni is nearby. So can you please tell me where it is? So Sutikna guided him to the ashram of Agastya. Agastya is a very great sage, you know. Actually, this place has a very close relationship with Agastya Muni. This is the place where the Vindha mountain used to be. It's still there. Vindha was so high that the sun could not go across this place. So, in order to make room for the sun to pass for passage, Agastya Muni was approached. And Agastya said, okay, I'll take care of it. So then Agastya Muni came here. So Vindha offered obeisances to Agastya. So Augustus says, stay like this until I come back. And he never came back. So that's why we can see the mountain range here has become quite low. So Augusta went to south in that way. And he resided there. Anyway, so Ramchandra went to the ashram of Augusta, and Augusta then, along with some very good advice, and so here is the pastimes of the Lord. He is playing the pastime of a Kshatriya. He is acting like a Kshatriya. He is not acting like the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just as when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came as a devotee, he acted like a devotee. He didn't act like the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he just acted like the perfect devotee. So when Ramchandra appeared as a Kshatriya prince, he acted like a perfect prince, perfect king. So this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he is sitting at the feet of the sages, taking their advice, touching their feet. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is acting like that. Whereas all these sages are actually worshipping him. Many of them recognized him, but many did not. And the Lord, because we have to understand that, they were covered by Jogamaya. That's why they couldn't recognize him. And they treated him like an ordinary prince, but illustrious in his activities. Then Agastya gave Ramchandra some gifts. He gave him the bow of Vishnu. He gave him two quivers of arrows. And he gave him one arrow of Brahma. That is Brahmastra. And he gave him a sword. That was also from Brahma. The infallible arrow and a gold inlaid sword from Lord Brahma. Then turning towards Sita, Agastya praised her for her chastity and saying that you have earned eternal glory by voluntarily accepting such hardship for the sake of your husband. This is especially meritorious since it has been the nature of a woman since the dawn of creation to love a man only for as long as he is prosperous. Generally, the nature of a woman is to love a man as long as he is prosperous. But he is saying, but although your husband lost everything, still you followed him. That is exceptionally glorious. So in this way, these scriptures are establishing the moral principle, standard. Actually, Marjada Purushottam, Ramchandra's activities are giving the Marjada of Dharma. It is teaching how everybody should act. How a Brahmana should act, how a Kshatriya should act, how a woman should act, how a Brahmachari should act, how a householder should act. So if we follow, then we find out what is the perfect way of life. So Ramchandra is the ideal king, Sita Devi is the ideal wife. And Ramchandra is the ideal husband also. So throughout Ramayana, we will see that. Then Ramchandra asked Agastya Muni to suggest some place where he could stay, where he could reside. Then after some contemplation, Agastya Muni told him that you stay at Panchavati near the bank of Godavari and a lake. Bank of river Godavari. Then just before Ram's departure, Agastya confided, I already know about your entire life by dint of yogic perception, which has been enhanced by my love for you. So Agastya knew that he is the Supreme Personality of God. And that's what he is saying here. So while Ramchandra was traveling with Sita and Lakshman towards Panchavati, as directed by Agastya, then they came across a huge bird. And they thought that maybe this is a Rakshasa, assumed the form of a bird. But then that bird told him that his name is Jatayu. And he told him that I am a friend of your father. And I am the son of Arun. Who is Arun? Arun is the brother of Garuda. Kashyapa Muni had 8 wives. Kashyapa Muni was Prajapati, Kashyap, were married to 8 daughters of Daksha. And one of his wives was Vinata. And from Vinata came 2 sons, Arun and Garuda. And Arun was married to Sheni, and Jatayu was Arun's and Sheni's son. So Jatayu was very happy to see Ram, and then he told that when you are here, as long as you are here, I will be very happy to be with you, to be near you. And when you go away, I will guard Sita. He promised to guard Sita Devi. And that's how we will see that when Ravan came to steal Sita, Jatayu actually gave his life. He gave his life to protect Sita. And he gave Ravan a terrible time. Although just a bird, and Ravan was so powerful that he could even defeat the demigods. Actually, in this 3 worlds, there was no one who could actually defeat Ravan. That's why he became so arrogant. That he thought that nobody can defeat him. Even Indra couldn't defeat him. Even Jamraj couldn't defeat him. It's not that Jamraj couldn't defeat him. Jamraj could defeat him. Jamraj, the king of death, can defeat anybody and everybody in this world. Nobody can get away from the clutches of Jamraj. But when they were fighting, when Ravana was fighting with Jamraj, then Brahma came and told Jamraj that his time hasn't come, so let him go now. So, apparently Jamraj accepted defeat. But Jamraj is not going to be defeated by anybody in this material nature. So, that's why nobody could defeat Ravan. Jatayu could not defeat Ravan, but gave him a very, very difficult time. He broke his chariot, Pushpak Rath. Pushpak Viman, that could fly. He tore off his armor. Ravan shot 1,000 arrows at him, and just with the one sweep of his wing, he just deflected all those arrows. So such powerful bird. And why? Because he's a devotee of the Lord. And then Ram, Lakshman and Sita were staying. In this way, about 10 years went by. 10 years they spent traveling, and almost this way, it was almost coming to about 13 years went by. Then one day, when Ramchandra and Lakshman, one morning, when they took their bath in Godavari, and they are coming to their cottage, to their ashram, Kutir, then one terrible looking demoness came there and addressed Ram. She was seeing the beautiful form of Ram. She became afflicted by lust and said, I am Surpanakha. I am the sister of Ravana, Vibhishan, Kumbhakarna, Khara and Dushan. I can travel anywhere with the speed of mind. I am so powerful that even I am even more powerful than Ravan. And I want to marry you. I have been afflicted. I have been afflicted by lusty desires just seeing you. So Ramchandra said, look, I am already married, but my wife is with me. So obviously such a beautiful woman like you would not like to have a co-wife. So you rather go for my brother. He is single. So go after him. Then she took it quite a simple, she couldn't recognize that, she couldn't understand that Ram was joking. So she approached Lakshman. Lakshman said, look, I am the servant of my brother. And you obviously won't be able to tolerate being that your husband is subordinate to somebody else. So actually I'm not the right match for you. So I think you should go for Ram. He has a wife, so what? He can have another wife. So in this way, both of them were joking at her. So she went back to Ram and said that, I will eat up your wife. This ugly looking woman, why are you going after her? And I will also kill your brother, and then together we'll live happily ever after. So saying that, she was about to attack Sita. So Ram said, Lakshman, to protect Sita and take care of her. So immediately Lakshman pulled out his sword and chopped off her nose and ears. Now because she was a woman, he didn't want to kill her. So Surpanakha, crying, went back to her brothers, Khara and Dushana. They were also two terribly powerful demons. And seeing her in that condition, Khar and Dushan became very, very upset. Said, who did this to you? Who dares to do such a thing to you? And Surpanakha said that there is this two human beings with a woman. They are roaming in the forest and they have done that to me. So please take revenge. Kill them and I would be... my anger will subside only when I drink their blood. So immediately Khara got 14 of his great warriors, Rakshasa, and said, go and kill those human beings. So Ram and Lakshman were there and they saw the 14 demons are coming to attack them. So Ram told Lakshman, you guards protect Sita while I take care of this demon. Ram told those demons, why have you come here to give up your lives? Go back. We haven't done anything to you. We are just living here peacefully. So why are you harassing us? So let us live here in peace. But these Rakshasas, 14 of them, immediately attacked Ram. And Ram just released 14 arrows from his bow, and all their weapons were cut, and then he released another 14, and all the 14 demons were killed. Sounds quite amazing, yeah? You wait for what happened next. So then Surpanakha went back to Kar and told him what happened, that Ram just single-handedly killed these 14 demons in just 14 arrows. So then Kar then ordered his brother Dushan and his general Trishira to arrange the army, and they immediately left for Panchavati with 14,000 Rakshasas, all apt in fighting. They're so powerful that they could even fight with the demigods. So they just attacked Ram. Again, Ram did not want Lakshman to help him. He just asked him to guard Sita, just to protect Sita. And he alone fought. Those Rakshasas who came on the first, those who came to attack, and they started to throw arrows and all kinds of weapons and stones. But Ramchandra released his arrows in such a speed that all those weapons were defeated. All the rocks and boulders were broken into pieces. Then a terrible fight ensued. The first he killed, Dushan, then Trishira, and then Khada. In 2 hours battle, and he wiped out the 14,000 of Rakshasa soldiers, along with their generals, and Khada and Dushan. Only one person who could actually escape was a demon called Akampan. He went and reported to Ravan. Akampan means one who doesn't shake. But when he approached Ravan, he was shaking all over. Ravan couldn't believe what he was saying. Then Surpanakha came with a terrible form. Her nose cut off, her ears cut off, bleeding off profusely all over. And he told Ravan. And then she told Ravan what actually happened. Then Ravan said, look, I'll immediately go with my army. She said, look, this person is not an ordinary person. So by attacking him like that, you won't be able to harm him. The best way to harm him will be to steal his wife. And when he is separated from his wife, he's so attached to his beautiful wife, that if he is separated from his wife, then he will die automatically. Because we have seen his prowess. Like alone he defeated Khara and Dushana with 14,000 soldiers. And he didn't take any help from his brother. Single-handed, he did that. And said that, and she started to describe the beauty of Sita just to provoke Ravana to steal her. So then Ravana went to Maricha. Marich was actually, you remember, Vishwamitra, Vishwamitra took Ram to take care of these two demons, Marich and Subahu. Subahu was killed by Ramchandra, but Marich, with one arrow, he flung him 800 miles into the ocean. So from that time, Marich became so worried, so afraid, that he became an ascetic. He gave up violence. So when Ravan came and told him that about his plan, that he wants Marij to become a golden deer and this way entice Ram away, and then in the meantime he will steal Sita. Marij, as soon as he heard the name of Ram, he started to tremble with fear, and he told what happened. And he told Ravan that, Ravan, whoever gave you this advice, he is your worst enemy. Because if you do anything to Ram, that means that's the end of your life. And I also know if I go near him, that will be the end of my life also. And as a matter of fact, since that time, whenever I see green, because Ramchandra's color was greenish, that whenever I see green, like all the trees appear to me like Ramchandra wearing tree barks. I see Ram everywhere. So then finally Ravan said, look, I haven't come here to take your advice. I have come here to ask you to do something for me. But if you don't do that, I'll kill you. Then Marij said, either I get killed by Ram, or I get killed by Ravan. It's better I get killed by Ravan. Better I get killed by Ram. Because when one is killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what happens? He achieves the spiritual destination. So then Marij assumed the form of a golden deer. It's a beautiful golden deer with bright silvery spot, they were luminous. The whole deer was just luminous, with a blue sapphire-like horn. And he started to play in front of Sita's ashram. Sita, seeing the deer, Sita said, "Ram, look at this beautiful deer." And Ram said, "A deer is not." Doesn't have a form like that. So maybe this is some trick, illusory trick of some Rakshasa. But Sita didn't listen. Sita said, no, I want this deer. And Ram also felt that Sita is suffering so much, so he decided to get the deer. And he told Lakshman, you guard Sita when I go to get this deer. And the deer took Ram away from the hut, in deep into the forest. Sometimes he was appearing visible, and sometimes he was invisible, the deer. So in this way, finally Ram gave up the hope of catching the deer. So he decided to kill the deer. So he shot an arrow to kill the deer. And as soon as the deer was struck by the arrow, the deer cried out, imitating the voice of Ram, calling out, Lakshman, help me, I'm dying. And then he assumed his original Rakshasa form. Lakshman heard the sound of Ram's voice, so did Sita. Sita said, Lakshman, Ram is in danger, please go and help him. Lakshman said, look, in these three worlds, nobody can actually do anything to Ram. Ram will never say, help me. this is just the trick of this Rakshasa. You can see that he came with a golden deer form. That form is illusory. So don't fall for this. So don't pay any heed. Then Sita became very upset. Sita said, now I can understand your intention, why you came to the forest. Now that Ram is dying and you don't want to go into his help, now I can see that you actually want to enjoy me. You want Ram to die so that you can enjoy me. Lakshman couldn't bear this. So he left too. And he told Sita, please don't go out. Be careful. Be careful till he come back. So then they left. Lakshman left. Ramchandra saw Sita, Lakshman, And he was surprised. He said, why did you leave Sita alone? And he told what Sita told him. And Ram said, let's immediately go. In the meantime, Ravana came, disguised as a sannyasi, wearing saffron robe, and he stole Sita. He called his chariot, he dragged Sita onto the chariot. Sita started to cry, but there was no one. Ram and Lakshman were not there to protect her. Then she saw Jatayu on top of a tree. So she called out to Jatayu, 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 please save me. This demon is stealing me. So then Jatayu went and fought with this Rakshasa Ravan. As I was telling, he broke Ravan's chariot. He just with one swing, he made Ravan's crown go flying. Ravan was standing there without his crown. And he released arrows after arrows, thousands of arrows, but he couldn't do anything. Jatayu tore off Ravan's armor. He was attacking Ravan. And in this way they fought for a long time. But then finally Ravan cut off Jatayu's wings. And then he carried Sita away to Lanka. Ram and Lakshman searching for Sita, they couldn't find anywhere. And they were searching. Then all of a sudden, they were attacked by a terrible demon. The demon didn't have his head. His head was inside his body. His eyes were in his chest. And his mouth was in his belly. So, and he had long arms. So with this, all of a sudden, he caught Ram and Lakshman in two arms. And Ram and Lakshman couldn't do anything. So finally, after struggling for a long time, Ram and Lakshman cut off his hands. So then this demon, his name was Kabandha. He told that he was a Gandharva who became very powerful by the benediction of Brahma. He became so proud that he was fighting with, he even challenged Indra to fight. And in that fight, Indra hurled his Vajra on him. And as a result of that, his head went inside his body. And then Indra actually blessed him that he could, his mouth will be in his stomach so that he can eat. And when Ram and Lakshman would come, he will be delivered. So, and Ram and Lakshman will cut off his hands and then only he'll be delivered. So, he told Ram and Lakshman that his past story and requested them to burn him. And then only he could get his original form. So Ram and Lakshman lit a huge fire and then burnt him. And when this Kabandha demon assumed his Gandharva form, before departing from there, he told them that a monkey king called Sugriva, he should go and Sugriva will help him with the monkeys to rescue Sita. He'll find Sugriva along with his associates nearby on the bank of Pampa Sarobar in a mountain. So Ram and Lakshman then went to look for, search for Sugriv along with Hanuman and Jambavan and two other monkey chiefs, Mahindra and Divida. Five monkey chiefs. Thank you very much. So I'll just break for, I have already taken over 5 minutes into, anyway, we'll have a 15 minutes break. Before we go to the next chapter, which is known as Kishkindha Kanda.